Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, Central Valley. Welcome to 1430 ESPN, the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, for the next 2 hours, pure high school talk. Want to thank First String Sports for being my day one sponsors. Located on Blackstone in between Sierra and Herndon Avenue. I do my show right on the right-hand side in the Letterman's Jacket Room. This is definitely the best place that I can do a high school radio show. The store opens at 9 o'clock, and there are two people coming in, adjusting their Letterman's Jacket, getting different things put on. This is definitely the only place you can get your Letterman's Jacket in the central section. So come on down here, First String Sports. They are awesome. Open from 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday. So what's going on today's show? After the break, I'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo. You know him from Home Field Advantage. Talk to Gabe every one of my episodes. He does a great job hitting the pavement, watching games throughout the central section. He came out with his first rankings of the year for baseball. So I'm going to be chatting about that. And Fresno State spring football is in the air despite this crazy weather, right? Crazy weather, floods everywhere, like literally lakes that were dried up are forming again. So the rain in the Central Valley definitely has wreaked havoc on baseball and softball, the outside sports for spring. But after Tuesday and Wednesday, hopefully it will be smooth sailing after that. Talking with Gabe about the various aspects of baseball and how that's been affected and his rankings as well. We have Clovis pitcher Emma Swenson. She's in the house. She's our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. The Cougars are the defending D1 champs. They are currently 9-2, and she's a senior pitcher, and she had to wait her time to get into the circle, and she's done a fantastic job this year. Looking forward to talking to her at around 10:35 or so. At the top of hour number two, baseball legend. I put legend. Legend, Jay Pruce. Now, Jay is a graduate of Sanger, was on the 1992 Fresno City College state championship team. He coached at Kerman from 2006 to 2017. His son is on the Clovis High varsity team. So he's had his hand in anything and everything regarded to baseball. Love talking with Jay. He's never been on the show before, but he's a wealth of knowledge. He's a fun guy to talk to. Looking forward to talking to Jay Pruce at a little after 11 o'clock. And at the bottom of the hour, Central coach Mitch Mulligan is coming in. Mitch had a tough one last night. I was following their game against Clovis High, and they were ahead 7-4 early. And it was the third game. I think it was the third game in a row because the Tuesday games got pushed back. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, when you're playing three games in a row, especially in the track, especially against a school like Clovis High, it's going to be tough. They had that 7-4 lead and ended up losing. I believe the score was 13-9. But Mitch has done an incredible job. He's a local guy as well, graduate of Selma High School, played at COS and Fresno Pacific College. Done an amazing job at Central. If you remember last year, the Grizzlies and Clovis East made it to the D2 championship game, a game that we called here on 1430 ESPN, won by Clovis East in the last inning and extra innings. This is one of the best baseball games I've seen in a long time. So that one definitely stung for Central. But Coach Mitch Mulligan, again, has done a fantastic job with that program. Really, really looking forward to talking to him at the bottom of hour number two. All right, there's something really cool happening tonight at the Save Mart Center. I hope you've heard of it. So Jose Ramirez, the pride of Avenel, is boxing tonight. He's 27-1, 17 KOs. He's fighting Richard Comey, who's 30-4. It's happening tonight, and check it out, guys. Come on down here to First String Sports. Well, first of all, come on here to buy all the cool stuff that they have, baseball equipment, baseball pants and basketballs, anything that you need here sports-related. But I'm giving away two pairs of two tickets each to the Jose Ramirez fight at the Save Mart Center. He's going to the gates open at 3 o'clock. It's a couple of undercards, and he's going to be boxing at around 7 o'clock tonight at Save Mart Center. That place is going to be absolutely hyped tonight. I have two pairs of two tickets, and I'm giving them away. Come on down here to First Street Sports. First people to come to the table here on the right-hand side. I will give you those tickets, free tickets to tonight's boxing match. Jose Ramirez, the Pride of Avenel. Come check it out. A few news and notes before we take a break. Roy Verduzco. That name doesn't sound familiar to everybody. Well, it should, because he is the longtime Boys Bullard volleyball coach. He just won his 900th career game. They swept Reedley 3-0 earlier this week. 900. Well, if you do the math, right, and you figure volleyball between 30 and 40 games a year, and the dude's won 900, that is a long time. He just entered his 40th year coaching. What an accomplishment, man. He's a lot of his players have gone on to play professionally, Division I level. I think I counted 38. I think I saw that. 38 players. So congrats to Coach Verduzco, just a staple of boys volleyball here in the Central Section. 900 wins. That is definitely a lot of wins. You guys know what Thursday is? Thursday is the start of Major League Baseball, starting on a Thursday. I know in years past there's just been some odd and strange times. And I remember a few years ago there was a few games in Japan that started early. But Thursday is the start of Major League Baseball, and I mentioned this last week. This is my favorite sports month of the year. You got March Madness, which has been incredible. No number one seeds are left. First time in tournament history that at the Elite Eight level, no number one seeds are left. That's the case this year. And, you know, March Madness is I think it's the greatest tournament in the world. I know the World Cup and World Baseball Classic was awesome as well, but March Madness is incredible. So March Madness, beginning of baseball, high school state championships, this is my favorite month. Major League Baseball starts. And I just wanted to mention, too, a few of our Valley tie guys that are going to be in the major leagues this year. I mentioned a few local guys that went to high school here, junior college here. Connor Brogdon, Philadelphia Phillies, graduate of Liberty and Madera, went to Fresno City College. That guy's really reinvented himself, become a very solid middle reliever. Last year, he had a 3.27 ERA in 44 innings, 50 strikeouts, and 2-2 record. He got some innings in the playoffs as well. So they're expecting big things from Connor. Just a great story. Like I said, reinvented himself, came up with some new pitches, throwing like 97 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour. So keep an eye on Connor. And Dylan Lee, we know his story from a few years ago. Dinuba High grad, right, my hometown, COS, Fresno State, and made it to the major leagues. Last year he had a 2.13 ERA, had a fantastic year. Again, a middle relief like Connor Brogdon. 5-1 record in 50 innings. He struck out 59 batters. Well, we remember him in the World Series because he started a game. He was considered an opener. Pitched one inning. Actually, he didn't get through the inning. He started and against the Astros, and he didn't last that inning. But congrats to Dylan Lee for the Braves. He's having a phenomenal spring as well. He has an 8K to zero walk spring in only a few innings. So look for Dylan Lee. And then Jordan Luplo. Buchanan grad, Fresno State, Arizona, got picked up by the Arizona Diamondbacks. I believe he just got sent down to AAA. Had a little bit of a shoulder issue at the beginning of spring training, so they sent him down. So he's one of those guys that I'm sure is going to be up in no time. And then two of our Fresno State guys that one has really established himself in major leagues. That's Aaron Judge. MVP, coming off one of the greatest seasons in Major League Baseball history with those 62 home runs, American League record, breaking Roger Maris's record, 311 batting average, 131 RBIs. These are just monster numbers. 133 runs, on base percentage, 425. Incredible. Slugging, slugged 686 last year. Remember, the benchmarks for slugging is about 500. So if you're a 500 slugger, you're pretty good. The dude slugged 686 last year, and he threw in 16 stolen bases just for good measure. And he's got a cannon of an arm. So, Aaron Judge, hey, can you repeat those numbers? Yeah, can he? Sure. Is it likely? Probably not, because that is, like I said, one of the greatest offensive seasons in Major League history. Another Fresno State guy I want to mention before we hit the break here is Taylor Ward. Now, remember him from Fresno State? I mean, he was a pretty high draft pick, and he reinvented his swing. Talk about Connor Brong did and his pitches, but Taylor Ward reinvented his swing and hit 23 homers, had 65 RBIs, 73 runs, hit 281 for the Angels, and he cemented in the outfield spot. And we know what Ohtani did during the World Baseball Classic, and we all know about Mike Trout. Mike Trout seems really, really healthy this year. But, you know, hitting behind those guys, gosh, he's hitting second for a while last year. I'm not quite sure where the Angels are going to put him this year, but yeah, Taylor Ward, future All-Star, I think, as well, and Aaron Judge just represent the Valley well, again, with Dylan Lee, Connor Brogdon, and Jordan Luplow. All right, I want to mention, too, before we hit the break, a couple baseball scores of note from last night. There's a few games that are happening today. I know a couple doubleheaders. Kingsburg is playing today at 10 o'clock. Some makeup games from the rain. But I want to mention a couple scores here before we hit the break. Hoover beat Sanger West yesterday. These are all games from yesterday. 12-0. Madera South beat Sunnyside 6-1. Kerman all over Reedley 14-0. Liberty of Bakersfield lost to Centennial 3-1. That was a bit of a shocker for me. Scroll down here. Stockdale, the defending D1 baseball champs, shut out Frontier 2-0. Hanford with a bit of an upset over Tulare Western 7-3. Bakersfield Christian, who's got some really good pitchers this year, beat Garces 7-3. Sierra Pacific beat Emmanuel 5-0. And in the track, Clovis High beat Central. There's the score, 13-9. Buchanan beat Clovis East 6-3. And Clovis West shut out Clovis North 6-0. We'll be talking about baseball around the Central Valley, a little bit about Fresno State football as well. Coming up after the break with Gabe Camarillo here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Well, that was quick, and that was a lot of fun to see. So, you know, I mentioned that I had tickets to the Jose Ramirez fight tonight, and had George. George came in. He came in really excited. He said, "Hey, I heard you guys have some tickets." "Yeah, we got some tickets right here." So my guy Jorge pulled out a pair of tickets for George, and he was all excited. He's like, "Ah, I was going to watch it on TV with my son, but I heard you guys on the radio while driving around." So swung around and came to First String Sports and got those tickets. So, yeah, happy to give those away to George. I still have one more pair. If you guys come down here to First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon, you can get the other pair. And, yeah, take a friend. So I was really excited that George said he's going to take his son. So it'll be a really good experience. So thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to 1430 ESPN for giving away those tickets. Really, really cool. I want to bring on Gabe Camarillo. You know him from Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday, 3-5. Does a fantastic job. You could follow him on Twitter at Gabe Camarillo _. He's been my partner in crime for the last couple years here at 1430 ESPN. Produces a show, does a great job, and he'll broadcast lots of basketball games this year. We had a big wrap-up show the last couple weeks, well, on my show last week, and he's done a great job, you know, bringing in guests and getting all the great information about our wonderful high school student athletes here to you guys. So, Gabe, I want to start with Fresno State spring football. That is in the air. I listened to your show driving home from work, and you've done a great job at practices. You're getting sound bites. You're putting those sound bites on air, which is awesome. We all love hearing directly from the coaches and the players. So what's going on right now? So is it 15 days of spring practice, and they were finally able to do a little bit of a scrimmage? Is that what happened this last week?
Yes. Yesterday they had their first spring football scrimmage, and it was a success. It's always good to have live reps like that where your best on best is going on in practice. So, you know, Carlton Johnson and Cam Lockridge, they were one-on-one against Fresno State's receivers, and that's kind of a big question mark, right? Who are Fresno State's receivers without Jalen Cropper and Nico Remigio and Zane Pope and Josh Kelly, obviously, in the transfer portal and at Washington State? So it's like that's going to be a restart for Fresno State offensively at receiver, at running back without Jordan Mims, but most definitely at quarterback without Jake Haener. And that's been the biggest storyline of this entire spring ball period, is who's going to be the quarterback. And so yesterday in the scrimmage, we received news that it was Jalen Henderson and believe Logan Fife splitting the first drive snaps. We're not going to say first team yet because really nobody's role has been determined yet. So the first drive was managed by two quarterbacks, Jalen Henderson and Logan Fife. The second drive was managed by Joshua Wood, who is an up-and-coming redshirt freshman, has gotten a lot of rave reviews, and the guy that everyone's been talking about, but we haven't seen him yet, the UCF transfer, Mikey Keene. Now, that's the wild card, right? They got Mikey Keene in from the transfer portal to compete for the starting quarterback job. You also have Logan Fife coming back from last year. If you remember, he led the Bulldogs to two important wins over San Jose State and New Mexico. And then Jalen Henderson, obviously, was the backup to Hayner in the 2021 season. Fife ended up taking that role for him last year. But Henderson stuck around, and I appreciate that. And I wrote about this in Barkboard a couple weeks ago. I appreciate that all six quarterbacks, including former Buchanan star Jaden Mandel, got here in the spring, and they stayed here in the spring. It would have been easy for guys like Matt Robinson and Jalen Henderson, or heck, maybe even a Logan Fife, when he saw Mikey Keene come in, they all could have left on the portal. But they all decided to stick it out and compete, and that's pretty rare when you look at how college football is done these days.
No, you're right. And if you follow other programs, you think, well, they'll have three fairly capable quarterbacks, but it sounds like Fresno State, it could be a very good problem, right? And we'll see how things shake out. But obviously it wasn't open to the public, but media, you guys were able to watch the entire scrimmage?
No, we weren't able to, but we did glean some highlights when talking to Coach Tedford, talking to Coach Pat McCann, the offensive coordinator, and I talked to Logan Fife and Eric Brooks, quarterback and receiver. So hearing from them, they divulged some of the highlights. There also was a highlight tape put out by Fresno State on social media that we were able to see some of the throws. I saw, I think it was Cam Beecham, a tight end that caught a touchdown. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but it looked like a good scrimmage for both sides of the ball. Defense obviously has a lot of experience, but there was enough explosive plays by the offense to get you excited. Josiah Freeman, I remember, had a sideline catch. Nate Acevedo had a great jump ball. He caught it over three different defenders. Jalen Moss caught a touchdown down the right sideline. So, you know, these are some plays from the young receivers that you should be happy about, because the young receivers are unproven, but they're talented. They're really talented. So you're hoping that situations like this, scrimmages like this, can get some live bullet experiences for the inexperienced receivers.
And, it's never too early to talk about football, Gabe. I want to ask about the draft. And Fresno State is holding a pro day as well, right, coming up. And I think the draft is going to be in 5 weeks. A lot of talk about Hayner and Cropper and some other Bulldogs might sign undrafted free agents. But pro day is coming up soon, isn't it, Gabe?
It is next Thursday, or Woo! I guess now we should say this Thursday. So It's coming up in 5 days here, Paul, and it's going to be packed. I mean, packed full of NFL teams. The Raiders offensive coordinator is going to show up. Raiders are really high on quarterback Jake Hayner, and maybe they'll see some other standouts on the field. I know Nico Remigio is looking forward to boosting his stock. I'm excited to see him run the 40-yard dash. Jalen Cropper will not run the 40-yard dash because he's already set a really good time. A former Sanger and Buchanan star ran a 4.41 in Indianapolis at the Combine. So why would you want to run it twice? You just got to run that once and you keep it there, but he's also going to run some routes. Excited to see maybe who's going to be throwing the football around. I know Hayner's going to show his arm. I really want to see what David Perales can do as well, because that dude was such a key piece to last year's Mountain West Championship defense, and I think he's getting, I don't know, underrated a little bit. I feel like he could be a contributor on an NFL team. He just hasn't got enough looks yet, but maybe the eyeballs that will be there on Thursday will like what they see from big number 99.
And it starts in the morning, and help me out too with this, Gabe. So they'll do some performances on the field, whatever they want to do, or whatever's asked, and then they go into the weight room and do their reps, and then can come back out and do some more activities. How that works?
So they'll have a close to the media session in the weight room where they will do bench press and other stuff that you can only do in the weight room. And then they will go to the field and do the on-field workouts, like the 40-yard dash, like the three cone drill. And there's just a lot of anticipation for this pro day because there's so many Bulldogs in it. Jake Hayner, Nico Remigio, Jalen Cropper, Jordan Mims, David Perales, even some of the guys that maybe we're not talking about enough, like a Raymond Piles and a Zane Pope. They're all trying to chase that dream of being a professional football player, and the first step is on Thursday at Valley Children's Stadium.
That's awesome. Can't wait to hear how that goes. And good luck to all those guys. I know the NFL has been a dream for all those guys, you know, since they were little kids. So, yeah, good luck to our Bulldogs on that. I want to talk about baseball, Gabe, for sure. So went over the scores from last night, some of the highlight scores. But Clovis West is looking pretty good, right? There seems like a lot of their pitchers have been stepping up. That was a question mark because they replaced a couple really good ones from last year. Bullard, you know, continues to win baseball games, but there's just a, to me, there's a big logjam at the top, and a lot of the stuff is going to sift out through the season, you know, come playoff time, which is going to be here before we know it. You know, there could be some new teams that are going to rise up, but Gabe, you put out our first rankings of the year, so I'm just going to go over the top five or so, and then we could discuss them. So you got Bullard at number one, you got Buchanan at number two, Bakersfield Christian at three, Stockdale at four, and then Kingsburg at five. I might as well just say the rest of them on top ten. Clovis at six, Clovis West at seven. They most likely will move up. Redwood at eight, Liberty Bakersfield at nine, and there's Tulare Western, who lost to Hanford at number 10. So anyway, Gabe, what's your reasoning for Bullard being the number one team?
They have the best lineup, I think, right now in the Valley. And they have multiple guys who can hurt you in different ways. Keenan Gomez has stepped up. He's a San Diego State commit. And when I say stepped up, they needed him to step up because Bullard lost their star shortstop, Bacon Zvorek, before the season even started. And so they needed a guy to have a good glove at shortstop, like Beckett, and to have a good bat, like Beckett. And Keenan's done that and more. You also think about Cam Schneider, who is the two-time reigning CMAC Player of the Year. You had him on the show last week. He's an absolute gem of a guy and also a great ball player. And he does it well, whether it's on the mound or at the plate. And so you think about the talent that they have. Trevor Wilson, oh my goodness, one of the best leadoff hitters in the state. Not even a question what he is in the Valley. He's the best leadoff hitter in the Valley. You've seen him with your very own eyes hit a grand slam against number three, Bakersfield Christian. So I think the power in that lineup and the ability for guys to get on base. I know they beat Garza the other day 22-4. I mean, that's just how talented they are, 1-9. And the one question mark about the Knights going into this season, I think has been answered. Everyone was wondering, who will start the second game in a week? Cam Schneider's going to get the ball to start a week, but what about that second game in CMAC play? Well, Sammy Reynolds has done a fantastic job. That team beat Clovis North 11-1, and when you consider how close Clovis West and Clovis North played each other this week, Bullard beating Clovis North 11-1 is even more impressive.
No, you're right, and I know that it seems like the defense on Bullard has really stepped up to their outfield. Can absolutely go get the baseball. Not a lot of doubles are landing out there at Mike Noakes Field. But yeah, I would agree, Gabe. Bullard's got a really good team. Buchanan's going to be right there as well. Bakersfield Christian is a base D3 team. They're going to win a lot of baseball games and most likely be in Division II come playoff times. Stockdale, reigning champs. Kingsburg is an interesting team as well. They actually got shut out by Reedley High.
And yeah. You know, and Kerman beat Reedley. Kerman beat Reedley 14-0. And Kerman is ranked number 21 in my ranking. So there's going to be a lot of changes coming this week, Paul.
No, there is. And, it could be one of those one-off games for Kingsburg. I know they got a loaded lineup. So Houston and Holden Hirschkorn, the identical twins, they're only juniors. Before the Reedley game, get this, identical twins, they look a lot. I mean, right? I mean, their bodies are – they just look like men. They were both hitting 515. Exactly 5:15 before that Reedley game. So how crazy is that? And that's kind of an odd number, odd batting average. It's not like they're both hitting 450 or something, but you know, 5:15. And Jacob Bray has really emerged as a number one pitcher or one of the top pitchers for them. I know they have Ethan Winslow as well, but Jacob Bray is really dealing on the mound for Kingsburg. And then Clovis, they'll always be there. Have you seen their freshman pitch yet, Gabe? I've heard a lot of things about.
Yeah, I saw him against Clovis West. Okay. The Coke Classic, and he is as advertised. A great pitcher, goes right at hitters. They got two of them, actually. The two Logans. Logan George is the freshman, and then Logan Barboa, who had a complete game two hitter against Central on Thursday. So that pitching staff is good. They're going to be able to get the first two games in track play and keep them low scoring, I think. But the third game is going to be interesting. Yesterday, they fell behind 7-3 to Central. The pitching wasn't there, but the bats came alive, and they ended up coming back and winning by four runs, 13-9. So I think with Clovis, and I talked about this, and they did it this week, if they put together their pitching and their hitting, they're going to be tough to beat. But if one is lagging over the other, then they'll lose games like they did, I think, Kingsburg. They didn't have their best stuff that night or that afternoon. It was raining against Kingsburg. That's why I had Kingsburg at number 5 and Clovis number 6. But it'll definitely change after Kingsburg just lost to Reedley.
Well, I know the pitching is usually going to be ahead of the bats earlier in the season, especially with this rain. But once the weather starts heating up, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of these scores in the 8-7 type ranges. But Gabe, good job by you. Next week, I know hopefully we'll get back on schedule as far as baseball goes. Tuesday, more rain, but I think with leagues starting up, a lot of these teams are going to rise to the occasion. Really looking forward to it. Good job by you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, I'm looking forward to next week already. Clovis versus Buchanan. Oh, my goodness. That's going to be a great series.
Yeah, again, and then the track plays 3 games a week, and so you definitely have to have your arms lined up for that one. But, good job by you, as always, Gabe, and thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
All right, coming up after the break, we'll be talking with Clovis pitcher Emma Swenson on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Thank you guys for listening. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Medders. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Medders, PaulMeadors. You can also go back to the 1430 ESPNFresno.com website. And Gabe Camarillo and I were talking about his baseball rankings. Well, you can check them out for yourself on 1430 ESPN Fresno website. It's right there on the front page. Click on ESPN Central section, high school baseball rankings for March 22nd. And Gabe does a good job mentioning players as well and the reasonings for those rankings. That's baseball. We love baseball, but we also love softball here in the Central Valley. And high-level softball, I've mentioned this before, high-level softball is awesome to watch. If you have never been to a big-time high school softball game, or college, right, for that matter. But, the game is played at such a different pace. The action is quick. You're on top of the action. The players are on top of the action. Pitching, man, if you got a pitcher, you can dominate a whole season. There's no innings restrictions for pitchers. You know, they're throwing underhand, so they could throw all day. And we got a good one with this right now. Emma Swenson, Clovis High. She's a senior pitcher. You guys are 9-2, right? 9-2 overall?
Yes, for season.
For the season, 9-2 overall. League is about to start here really soon. So, Emma, first of all, thanks for coming. You were in early with Mom, watching, checking things out, checking the store out, making sure everything was good. But thanks for coming. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, so are you, this is March Madness. I know you're a softball pitcher, but are you into basketball at all? Or is like, you watch college basketball when you get home from school or anything like that? Or is that just like,
I haven't watched much basketball. We've been watching more spring training or the World Baseball Classic. I think the last time I watched college basketball was 7th or 8th grade. My leadership teacher, he had us fill out the brackets. So I think it was last time I watched basketball.
That is a good teacher. I did that. I teach 5th grade and I do that with my students as well. And this time, we instead of filling out the brackets on paper, we actually did it online. So, so if my superintendent finds, CBSSportsLine.com on all the history list, we know, what I was doing in my class. But does a good job of keeping track. But, yeah, good job by your teacher back then. But World Baseball Classic was so much fun.
It was. It was really cool to watch and to see players I see for Major League out there also. For their different countries and stuff.
That was great. And the Ohtani versus Trout at bat to end it for Japan was, it's legendary, right? And I'm rooting for Trout, right? I want Trout to get something going. But, man, I had to be happy for Ohtani. He's such a great guy, and we wish him success for sure. And hopefully the Angels can make the playoffs this year. Come on, what's up with those guys? But I want to ask you, too, Emma, about softball. When did you first start playing softball, or what are your first memories of playing softball?
I've been playing softball since I was like 4 years old. I played t-ball. I remember, my dad has coached me a lot through my younger years between travel and rec ball, and t-ball was you just learn to run to first base after hitting the ball and stuff. One of my first memories was when I was first learning to pitch, And my dad would catch me or my pitching coach, and we just go to our local park. And then I'd go home and ball up a socks and throw it into a door to work on my form. So that was one of my big memories. And I share that with girls that I help pitch and stuff. I tell them that. Just go home and throw a ball of socks into your door or something.
Hear that. Thump. Thump. Yeah. Thump. All right. Emma's throwing her socks against the door again. So how old were you around that time? About seven, maybe?
Yeah, I think I was going into fourth grade when I first started to pitch. We needed someone for my rec ball team, and then soon after that, I moved to a travel ball team. So it wasn't long.
And did you ever play out on the field? Did you play first base or anything like that, or did you just, like, stick to pitching after that?
No, I was mostly third base all through rec ball and stuff. And then when I started to pitch, I moved to first base when I got my height with me. So I still play first base and pitcher and everything, so I would still do both.
All right, talk about your height. You mentioned your height, so how tall are you?
I'm about 6 foot or 6'1". We haven't measured in a while, but I'm up there, yeah.
We'll go 6'1".
Yeah.
It sounds way more. I mean, 6 feet sounds intimidating, but 6'1 definitely sounds intimidating. We'll go with that. Do you have any brothers and sisters that you grew up playing sports with or that you hung out with?
I have an older sister. She wasn't much into the sports, but I have two cousins who live next door and go to school with me. And one of them was in sports, and so me and him are always going back and forth to sports. Plays for Clovis High now, and the other one is in FFA and Ag. So okay. I grew up; all four of us have become really close and stuff.
And is he the closer, or is he one of the pitchers on the Clovis
High
softball team?
He is. It's Nicholas Morelli. Yeah.
All right. Look at that. All right. So that's first cousins, right?
Yes.
Lives next door.
Lives next door.
That's who can you strike him out?
Oh, I don't know. We haven't got that far. We talk each other at team dinner. We'll be like, "Oh, I've been pitching more than you." He's like, "Well, I don't, you know, we'll just go back and forth about who's doing better." And this season I've been hitting and he hasn't been much hitting. And so I'm like, "Well, I hit and you don't." So
there you go. All right. But listen, every high level softball pitcher that I know of can strike out dudes on a softball diamond. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. You get these high school kids that think, "Oh yeah, softball, the ball's bigger, right? Throwing it underhand," but you got the advantage, I could tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure it will happen someday. We have a field at my house, so I'm sure it will come up. So,
all right. What is your favorite pitch to throw?
I don't think I have a favorite pitch, but I enjoy throwing my rise ball. It just, there's a lot of swing and misses. It just, the movement on it, I can see definitely a lot. And to throw inside, I love throwing inside to people and seeing how they react and stuff. So
yeah, you want
to
saw them off, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to get in on their knuckles. I actually did, Emma, talking to Emma Swenson, Clovis High pitcher. I did see a couple video clips. There were a couple clips of you pitching, I think, in the Las Vegas. You
mm-hmm.
guys went to Las Vegas.
Yes.
And you got a lot of girls to swing and miss on that rise ball.
Yeah.
There were a lot of girls that were swinging at pitches where the catcher had to almost jump up and
yeah.
get the ball. So tell me though, for all the listeners out there, I wish I had a softball with me right now. But how do you grip a rise ball? Is it different? You grip it with the seams, or what's the way you grip it and the way you release it?
Yeah, so there's different ways for each pitcher. Mine is I do kind of a circle with my fingers, and I get my middle and my ring finger on a seam and kind of get underneath it like you're turning a doorknob, kind of. So you kind of turn it sideways, turn a doorknob, and then you finish all the way through it.
Okay.
So.
And then what are your other pitches that you throw?
I throw a drop ball, a changeup, a screw, and a curve.
Okay. So what? Let's go with the screw ball. How are you going to grip that?
I grip my rise, my screw, and my curve all the same way. And then I just change how I release it. My screw ball, you release it kind of like a rise ball, but you kind of twist it more. You pull your thumb into your kind of your belt, and then you bring it back out.
And are you okay? So you're doing it before you hit your leg. Is it before your leg or after your leg?
You kind of start doing it towards your back right leg, and then you should be finished by your kind of front leg. Yeah.
Okay. Now, again, you're having an incredible season. Well, what's been your most memorable win this year for you personally on the mound? Like, I know you pitched in Las Vegas, right? You pitched against Bullard.
I did, yes.
As well. So this year, what's been like the game that you felt was your best game of the year?
I think it was definitely one of the Vegas ones. I don't remember exactly who we played. I know I had a game where we pitched in, where I had to play in the rain, and I kind of surprised myself with how well I did with such a wet ball. But we had a lot of really good games in Vegas, and it was different this year, pitching so much more than I have the past years, and it just kind of surprised myself a little. But I think we'll continue like that.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to hit on that. So you're a senior, but you had to wait for your time to pitch. Last year you guys won the Central Section Championship, beating Central 2-0. But you had a pitcher, you had a senior pitcher last year, Lauren, who threw the heck of the ball, especially towards the end of the year. She was on fire. How do you think that time waiting, you mentioned how you started pitching when you were 4 years old and 7-8 got your own pitching coach. But how is it for you to have to wait all these years, right, and be behind the scenes, so to speak, and then finally your senior year, it's like, okay, it's my time. Was it, you think it prepared you for this season? Was it difficult at times to know that you weren't going to get the ball in the circle as much as maybe you had hoped, but you're a team player, obviously. So what was the mindset coming into this year?
Yeah, so 7th, 8th grade, and freshman year, even though freshman year got short, I was basically the only pitcher. So I got a lot in. And okay. So it was mostly my sophomore, junior, where I didn't do as much pitching. And I knew that going in, that's just how it was going to be and stuff. But I did stats in the dugout for our pitcher and our hitter. And so I was still really involved with Lauren Carranco and with our catcher and our pitching coach. I would help out each batter. I'd write down what pitches we threw. So I still felt really involved, and I was learning kind of the system and the pitching style myself. And so I think that has helped this year, getting that knowledge of how things are going to go and that type of thing. And I think that's really helped. I think knowing I wasn't going to pitch as much, I was okay, but I was also okay because I was able to learn and this year use everything I've learned.
Were you nervous coming into this year, or was it more excited, like, okay, this is my time?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think I was pretty excited to have my opportunity. I think there was some nerves, but I think once we got going and I saw how things were going to be and things were going better than I think I was expecting, that really helped, and it's moved on from there to more excitement.
What's something about pitching that most people don't understand? Like, as far as maybe the taking on the pressure, or really trying to ramp up a strikeout when you need it. Like, what's something that most people don't know about pitching?
I think it's definitely a different mental side than other positions and stuff. And it's, you kind of have this weird feeling of just being on the mound. Like, you're just in the center and you have other people around you, and you know that, but it's weird just being there in the center and you're just looking at the batter and the catcher and you're waiting for that pitch. And you want to think about how you're going to throw each pitch, but you also want to kind of just let it go and throw it and trust your stuff and everything. So
how has your catcher helped you?
Oh,
you
she's
a catcher, right?
Yes. I don't spend much time apart from my catcher. I give her rides to school, after school. We go pretty much everywhere together, me and Sveva. And my coach has really put into her, I have a lot of trust in throwing things in the dirt or way better above her head. She does not miss many blocked balls or balls above her head. And she puts a lot, I have a lot of trust in her, and I think it shows that I can just turn it loose and I know she's there for me and stuff. So yeah.
So off the field, for sure, you guys are good buds, and mm-hmm. on the field, just the chemistry's there. What do you guys like to do when you hang out? Like, do you guys go to Dutch Bros? Do you guys know your favorite drinks to get there, or what do you guys?
We go to Crumble, at least.
Oh,
we go pretty once a week. We'll look at the flavors. We'll go get a box and sample them and give them ratings or whatever. Yeah. We'll go pick it up, sit in my car. And so we do that once a week, pretty close, or every few weeks.
So that's pretty close to Clovis High, too. Mm-hmm. When that one opened up, like, yeah, because my daughter goes to college in Arizona, and there's one in Arizona, and we're like, this place is absolutely phenomenal. And then they got the one in Clovis. But what is your favorite cookie there?
Probably the milk chocolate chip. It's basic, but.
And they rotate them.
They do.
That's the thing about Crumble. Like, it's like six cookies at a time, and every week they change them.
They do. I think almost every week, though, they still have that milk chocolate chip. I don't know if they had it this week, but they'll have other flavors. So we'll look it up before we go. And if they have enough other flavors, we'll get a few of the other ones. But if not, we'll just get the milk chocolate chip.
And it comes in a box of five?
You can get, I think, like one or four.
You can get one.
Yeah.
I think there's a box. Okay.
Four or so, yeah.
All right, yeah, good call. All right, they just got some free advertising there, so maybe we can get a discount next time we go. So you guys are the defending champs. this year, Clovis North and Central have really good teams. We know what happened to Clovis North last year. They won 2 years ago. Ryan Maddox is an incredible pitcher. She got hurt, I think, right around league, beginning or middle of league. When you're facing those types of programs, you're going to be facing them in league. When you're going against a dominant pitcher, do you see it more as a challenge of you're going against that pitcher and the team, or you see it more of a challenge as like from pitch to pitch to pitch? How do you look at a game like that?
I think it's a little bit both. I have me and a lot of the girls that are on the team with me, we've played Ryan Maddox in seventh grade, and we to see the improvement from now to then of our competitiveness against her and against other teams like her. Same thing with Crystal at Buchanan, just to see the improvement we've had. And now, like, we want to do it. We want to beat her and beat each team as we can. So it's definitely a team thing. And I think sometimes you'll have to go pitch by pitch, depending on the situation. When you show up and you start playing, it changes in the game and inning to inning and stuff. But
yeah, and I think for us in the media, when we see those types of matchups, we're like, oh, it's pitcher against pitcher. But that's not the case. You got team behind you and an offense as well. So I know those games are high intense games. So we're really looking forward to that. Talking with Emma Swenson, Clovis High pitcher. All right. So I heard from Coach Mike Noel that you're a member of the National Honor Society. All right. So what are some of your favorite classes, some of your favorite subjects?
I love math and science. So I'm in AP Calc for the second year, and my teacher, he's one of my favorite teachers. He's great at teaching it. He's really flexible with things and asking questions. He's in his classroom most of the time, so I get a lot of help from him. My other class this year is AP Environmental Science, and I'm enjoying it so much. It's kind of weird. I found out I love learning about dirt and water. And, I mean, the Central Valley's all around that. And so for me to enjoy that so much, it's pretty funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So college is like a Cal Poly or something like that? Or what are you interested in college?
Yeah, no, Cal Poly has always been kind of a dream school. I just recently got accepted there also. And so I was kind of looking at ag engineering there. But I want to play softball, and that's a little, I don't know if that opportunity hasn't happened. And so I'm actually looking at University of Redlands.
Okay.
And they don't quite have ag, but they do have environmental science. And so I know that I can go there, play my years, get a degree, and transfer to get that ag engineering degree somewhere else and stuff. Either go Cal Poly or come back here to Fresno State.
And I heard you're also involved in music.
I am. I play the violin in our top orchestra at school.
The top orchestra. Are you playing You're playing first part? What part are you playing?
No, I'm second violin. Okay. Or the second part or whatever. I've been there. My freshman year, we represented the state in Kazmik. And so that was a really big thing for me to be just part of it. I sat in the back, but I've definitely improved some from then. So
growing up, did you do pitching lessons? And then you had to shut yourself in your room and practice your violin?
Yeah. And to homework, or I would go from practice to a violin lesson somewhere or something like that. Yes, definitely.
Wow, you are very well-rounded. What are your favorite – do you have any favorite classical pieces that you play? I'm kind of putting you on the spot. I didn't put that in my notes, but are there any classical pieces that stick out to you?
I think it was probably my freshman year we got to pretty much premiere an orchestra piece by John Mackey. It was called I'm drawing a blank. Strange Humors. There we go. And okay. So it was mostly a band piece, and he wrote an orchestral piece for us, and we got to play it at our Kazmik performance. So that was really cool to do that, and I enjoyed that piece. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Okay. One more question here for Emma. All right. You have your hand in everything. Ag, you like dirt and water, play the violin. You could throw, 17 different pitches, right? That's about what I got. Is there anything else? And you like crumble cookies. Is there anything else that that people might be surprised that you're into? Do you collect anything, or is there, something quirky that you
like? I am really into baking and cooking. During COVID, I learned how to do teppanyaki at home, on a grill and everything. And I bake a lot of cookies for my team. We did, 5 days of cookies leading up to our first game. So I do baking, cooking, and then I'm part of the Clovis Rodeo Association. So I spend a lot of time there on weekends leading up to the rodeo, helping them prepare and stuff.
That's great. Well, my favorite cookie is Snickerdoodles. What was yours that you like to crumble?
Milk chocolate chip.
All right. But you do that, you're a violin player, you play a little bit of the fiddle as well, you're into ag, and you're an incredible pitcher as well. So thanks for coming in, Emma. This was fantastic. You are one of the shining stars in the Central section, and thanks for coming in. Good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right, that was Emma Swenson, Clovis High pitcher. Oh, great story. A lot of fun to talk to. Coming up after the break, looking at him right now, Jay Pruse, Sanger grad, coach at Kerman, Fresno City College. He's done lots of fun things. We're going to have to talk about some great stories that he has throughout his coaching and playing career. Coming up on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the San Francisco Giants on locally owned 1430 ESPN. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Matters. Just had a great interview with Emma Swenson, Clovis High softball. I mean, gosh, those are the type of student athletes that we love to highlight here on the show. Great softball pitcher, right? First of all, great person, honors society, likes dirt and water, wants to study that Cal Poly or Fresno State, plays the violin, and likes to bake. well-rounded student. If you missed that part of the interview or hour number one or any of our shows, you could go to the 1430 ESPN website, go to podcast, download, look for Central Valley Sports Report. You can listen to any and all episodes in the past in podcast style. I want to thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating as well. They do a great job sponsoring 1430 ESPN and our local athletes. Weather, right? Weather report brought to you by them. 50 degrees high today. Actually, it's 50 degrees right now. It's going to be a high of 59. It's supposed to rain on Tuesday a little bit. Now it's down to 70%, 30% on Wednesday. So thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Also have those two tickets for the Jose Ramirez fight available here, First String Sports. Just come on down here. We'll give them to you. Next person that walks in and wants the tickets, we'll give them to you. 7 o'clock tonight, that's when he's scheduled to fight. The fight's on ESPN, man. It's on the mother station, right? So check that out. But come down here if you want to go to the Save Mart Center. We got those tickets. We'll just give them to you. We got Jay Pruse in the house. Sanger, Fresno City College, Kerman coach. His son plays at Clovis High. I put baseball aficionado and fellow Star Wars nerd in my Star Wars notes. Now, obviously, the word nerd has different connotations to it. But I also want to mention you're a well-rounded person, too, just like Emma, right? You're well-rounded. You got a couple Valley championships.
You physically well-rounded?
You said it. I didn't say it. You said it.
What are you getting at here?
Well, I mean, you have two Valley championships as a coach, man. 2012, 2014. Yeah. We're going to get into a lot of fun stuff for the next 20 to 25 minutes or so. But, yeah, so, you know, what's up? What do you got going for the rest of the day? Are you into college basketball at all? Are you going to watch any basketball, spring training? What are you going to do?
No.
That's a big fact. No.
I don't watch basketball.
Okay. All right.
No, I don't. You know, this is the best time of year for, obviously, for college basketball, and it is intense and it's a lot of fun. And I just, you know, I'd rather watch like a cooking show,
really,
or like, you know, or some kind of like.
Well, how about
something on
training,
engineering or like in baseball as well, like yeah. You know, spring training baseball. You know, but now they're at the point where it's rosters are getting set, so they're about ready to roll into it. You know, so they're getting close.
I found myself watching a lot of just the Major League Baseball channel. I missed a couple of days of work a few weeks back, and man, I just had that thing on 24/7. And just the way they, you know, the MLB shows and spring training. How about, you know, you were a pitcher back in the day,
yeah.
Right? How many? You still got some bullets left? Like, let's say, Clovis High for some reason gives you a call, right? Gives you a call on the Jay Pruse phone. And says, can you come through a batting practice for us this year? How would you do?
I'd be worried because that meant something happened to Storm Chandler. And he's the legend when it comes to BP. He threw BP at the All-Star game last year.
He did. That's
and,
great.
And he knows what he's doing, but I'm more like a lucky day.
Okay.
Three amigos. I have the arm. There's no bullets. So it's all blanks.
Or like in Major League, right? you get that Crisco oil out,
right,
and put some
yeah,
you know, Vaseline in
absolutely
your nose and
it's,
see if you can make that thing
right. It's I by the end of my career I was thrown from about 30 feet and just kind of getting here and just kind of like
flicking it,
just short arming it, you know, and like, but the funny thing is not the first thing not to go is your arm. It's actually right about there, your abs. And
yeah,
so going and playing catch with my son, you know, I'm good to throw, but then all of a sudden I get home and I'm like, whoa, what did I do? You know, and there's other things, you know.
I actually threw batting practice a couple weeks ago and I ended up throwing about 180. That was mm-hmm, the count that I had in my head. And yeah, it was about a 4-day recovery. 4 days.
Yeah,
I was
it
sore in places that I didn't know I could be sore in.
Yeah.
Like, what is that muscle? Wait, I have a muscle there, I guess.
And now that I'm, yeah, almost 50, it makes you really appreciate what these kids can do now, you know? And, you know, yeah, I was able to do that at one point, but it was just taken for granted.
And you grew up in Sanger.
Yeah.
And graduated from Sanger High in 91.
Right? 91.
91. What was it like growing up in Sanger at that time? You know, small, you know, back then, you I thought about Sanger as a small community. Obviously, a
yeah
lot has changed over the years. You know, was Little League everything? Was it? Was
yeah,
we grew up in an era where you come home from school, you know, maybe play a little bit, little Atari, throw the baseball around, come back for dinner.
That was it. Yeah. I lived just outside town, so I was always riding my bike in. And those were the days, you know, you could ride your bike around and feel pretty safe. And, you know, we'd, you know, pick up our friends. And our days, usually once we got to about sixth grade through eighth grade, it consisted of, like, drinking as many Slurpees as we could at 7-Eleven and playing Gauntlet,
yeah,
you know, all day and until we ran out of quarters, you know. And so, and then we'd, if we got crazy, we'd ride over all the way across town to Chuck Wagon, you know. And so, but that was, you know, but we spent a lot of time. It was a lot of wiffle ball. A lot of Nintendo, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, we had our schedule. We'd play wiffle ball until we got tired. Then we'd go and play Nintendo, you know.
And then for me, grew up in Dinuba.
Yeah.
You know, Little League was it, right?
It was it.
You would walk to the park and you'd watch the other teams and, you know, you'd try to chase the home run balls and all those things. Is that what it was like in San Diego?
Yeah, because you grew up competing against certain kids. Because I can remember those guys that, like, I competed against that became my friends and teammates later on. Because, like, I was at Jackson and Scott Caldera was at Madison and, you know, the guys at Jefferson and Wilson, stuff like that. And you saw them and they stood out to you. My teammate and catcher, Jimmy Wise at Lincoln, like those guys, you battled them and all of a sudden, oh, now we're together,
yeah,
you know? And then that became a lot of fun too. And so, we really just kind of gelled from there and it's those, you know, you never forget those things.
And you remember, oh, man, that dude throws hard, but he's wild, right? You just,
oh, yeah,
just hear these rumors of these
yeah
kids that threw hard, but you got to make sure you
yeah
prepared to duck.
Yeah, there's a kid who's like 11 that's already got a beard,
yeah,
you know, and he's, you know, and you're just shaking in your boots in the batter's box, you know? And
that's right.
And so it's just, that was, yeah, it was a little scary, but, you know, and then, you know, but those are the things that made you better.
Yeah.
You know? And you went in and competed anyway, and there was no social media, so like you didn't.
Yeah.
Even though you're in this small town, you don't, you know who they are, but you don't know them, and so having that kind of coming together is something that, you know, was you realize how special it was.
And then you get to high school, and you have a nice career at Sanger. Who? So what was the league? Obviously, you know, leagues are, you know, CMAC and the track. Obviously, this is 1991. Do you remember who was in your league?
So it was the NYL. So it was the Fresno schools and Sanger and Madera, basically.
Okay.
And so, you know, everybody had somebody, but it was Bullard and McLean were the best baseball programs. And it was, I mean, everybody knows Bullard and their history and everything, but McLean was also incredible. And when I was a sophomore, we were facing – Bullard was probably like – that was 89 – so they were like,
yeah, number one in the nation. Todd Johnson, those guys.
Well, McLean was like ranked like 30th in the nation, but they had a guy named Jeff Johnson who got drafted by the Red Sox, threw probably 92, 94 miles an hour in high school. They had Brian Fonts. They had Tony Chavira, and Tony pitched the. Tony won the game, the state championship for us. He pitched the game when he's a complete game, you know, in 92 at City College, and he was all of about 5'7" and a half, and he just, but he dealt and. He threw hard and he competed and so going on to college was kind of like that same thing, going from Sanger and knowing those kids, like these guys, and then now we come together here,
yeah,
you know. And so that was a whole nother sort of reliving of all that, you know.
So you get to Fresno City College, and you know you're on this team, and you got a bunch of dudes, and you end up winning the state championship playing for Coach Ron Scott. We're talking with Jay Pruce. So what was that? I don't know. Just what was that experience like?
I was a deer in the headlights because I was not good in high school. Like I was not like I was. The freshman coach wanted to cut me. He was like, "This guy's not even any good." And my coach at the time was Lou Irwin, and he was like, "You know, hey, let's keep him around. He's going to grow. He's going to get stronger." And the next year, I was starting on varsity, which wasn't saying much for Sanger because you know we probably won 4 games all year, you know. Yeah. And but I was up there throwing, and I was taking my lumps. I was literally getting hit by yeah. guys like Joey Jacobson. Like we were playing Clovis West, I took a line drive off my ankle. I was just getting lasers hit off me. In fact, trivia question here. I gave up the first home run at Clovis West Stadium in 1989 to Tim Roach. He snuck it over the wall, and they were going to give him $100 until they found out they couldn't because it was illegal to do that. So, I took some serious lumps, but it made me better. I didn't want to quit. I wanted to get better. And then I ended up pitching for my cousin, Tony Heron, who knew everything there is about pitching. He's to this day, he's one of the smartest baseball people in the Valley. And so I learned proper mechanics and things, and I really kind of went from there. I had a good senior year, and then that got me to City College. And so then, but now you got to compete against all these guys, you know, for a position as well, you know. And so I got about 25 innings or so on that 92 team because we had Joey Jacobson and Billy Seamus, who played in the big leagues. Tony was the number 3 guy. Doug Cecil from Fresno High was also really good. Matt Roper was on the team from Clovis. And so I was right about there behind those guys, you know. And then Joey and Billy were our 2 dudes. And Joey set the school record for wins. That team was phenomenal.
Well, Seamus, he got drafted out of Fresno City, right? That's that when he started his career?
Yeah, he got drafted by the Angels. He ended up having a great 8 or 9 year career with the White Sox.
Yeah.
You know, he's an awesome dude.
And then his sons did very well at Clovis West as
right.
well. Right. Yeah. So what was the format like back then in the junior college as far as the state playoffs? Was there like a NorCal, SoCal champ, and then you guys played each other?
Yeah. So it was in Riverside. And so we were the number 1 seed in Northern California. And so we won our half, the top 2 teams, and then the top 2 teams from Southern California. And of all things, one of the players on the LA Pierce team was my son's coach at Clovis High. And so we ended up crossing paths again. It's like, hey, you were on that city team? He's like, yeah, you're on Pierce, what? You know, like, yeah. It's like, yeah. So it was just, it's crazy how it all kind of, you know,
and what was the final score in that state championship game, if you remember?
Oh, man, I don't remember the score, but we threw 3 complete games. Jacobson, Joey, and Billy, we beat Sac City. Sac City came in 33-3. They were the team with us from the north, and so we never played them during the year. And, you know, they ended up 34-5, you know, yeah. And we ended up beating them on a walk-off single. Kevin Howard, ground ball up the middle, scored Scott Taglioni from both Bullard guys, both best friends, those two. And we ended up dogpiling, and actually their pitcher didn't get off the field in time. So their pitcher got caught in the dogpile too.
Hey, there's a different colored uniform guy at the bottom of this pile, and he's cussing at us.
Yes.
What's going on here?
Well, he helped us win, too.
Oh, there you go. Good point. You're part of this, too. You're part of history. So, you know, Ron Scott, legendary coach, all-time winningest coach in California, right?
Yeah.
All-time winningest baseball coach, junior college. You know, great guy. You know, what did you learn from him, or do you have any great stories about Ron Scott, recently retired?
Stories. It's not so much the stories, because you could tell a million different things about Ron. But his demeanor and the way he approached practice and things I took that with me. It was like, if we're gonna run a bunt drill, Ron's like, hey, if this takes us 10 minutes and you guys all get this right, we're done. You know, and that's something I took with me in my coaching career. Getting to Fresno State, Coach Bennett was very much the opposite of that, where it was just drill, 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 drill. And that's not a bad thing either. But when you're coaching high school kids, the way Ron did it, you know, because the fundamentals that Coach Bennett instilled, that's all he was about. You know, fundamental. They never change. And so you take those, combine them with the way you apply the drills, you know, and I think that's a winning combination. I think that just kind of plays into what so many coaches do around here, you know, that have had, who have been influenced by both of them. So,
and I think, And you mentioned too, Jay, coming from Sanger, and you're playing with guys from Bullard and McLean, and right, everyone has different experiences in high school.
Yeah.
But then when you get to the next level, right, you got to up your game a little bit more, becomes a little more intense, yeah. Right? All those little things matter. I want to ask you too, though. You mentioned the lessons that you learned from Coach Scott and Coach Bennett, and then what? So when did you start coaching high school, and who gave you your first chance?
It was a bit of a whirlwind of a day. I failed a class, and that was gonna. I ended up being ineligible to play at Fresno State. I was lined up to be the closer in 1995, and I went from failing the final, knowing I wasn't gonna be able to play again, because it wasn't a GPA thing; it was just a units thing. So I didn't have enough to maintain my eligibility, and I wasn't gonna miss practice to take a class. It wasn't fair to the team. I'm like, I just need to go. Like, so I went from my final. I went to Coach Bennett's office. I said, I can't play here anymore. I failed this class. There was a whole mix up with the counseling office. It's a whole long convoluted story. But I went from final to Bennett's office to Sanger High, and my cousin Tony was the coach at the time. I go, hey, I'm gonna start coaching. He looks at me and goes, all right. So I said, okay, let's go. You know, and so I was the I actually ended up being the assistant JV coach with my old coach, Lou Irwin. And so we went from there. And that's where my coaching career started. I spent 5 years there at Sanger trying to get a job. It was hard in the late 90s trying to get a teaching job. You know, now it seems like they're just giving them out now. So it was really tough. But and so one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got was from my dad. And it was, he said, go someplace else. And I didn't want to, because I was Sanger born and bred. I wanted to build a program, wanted to beat these big schools with, you know, and, you know, try to make it like what Chuck did with football, you know. And my dad said, go someplace else and then learn from somebody else. And so that's what I ended up doing. I ended up, of all places, I went to Riverdale, and I got a job there. A buddy of mine, Jeremy Price, that I played with at City College, got a job there. And he's like, come on, there's an opening, you know, put in for it. And we ended up teaching right next door to each other in alternative ed. Well, that's a whole lesson in itself. And then, of all things, they said, Jay, we're going to have you coach softball.
So this is like 95, maybe?
No, this is 99.
99.
Yeah.
All right.
So then I was like, you kidding me? Like, and this is where the ego gets in the way. Like,
yeah.
You know, I've played college baseball, and you want me to coach JV softball. So, yeah, we think you have enough baseball experience, you can do that. I'm like, well, yeah. But I learned a ton because it made me a better baseball coach, just seeing things from a different perspective in that sense. I was coaching baseball the next year there, and then got let go from that job. And then I coached in Hanford, or I taught in Hanford at Kit Carson for a couple years. And then I ended up going to Reedley High, coaching with Kevin Patrick and Sean Hanna for 3 years. But I taught in Dinuba. I taught independent study in Dinuba, and I got hired in Kerman. I told them no at first. I didn't want to drive all the way to Kerman. And then they said, well, if you want to, you know, what if we create a teaching job for you? Would you do it? I said, well, yeah, I'll do it. You know, like, I'm not just going to go out there to coach.
Yeah.
So that's how Kerman began. So I never wanted to be a head coach. So it's easy to be an assistant.
Yeah.
So that's where it all began with Kerman.
So 2006, I believe, was your first year.
First year, head coach, talking
with Jay Pruce right now. So 2006 to 2017, you got those Central Valley Valley Championships in 2012 and 2014. You had some really good teams, didn't you? You had a pretty special pitcher that helped you along the way, right?
Yeah.
You had a dude, Carlos Salazar.
Yeah.
You know, when you're able to coach a player of that caliber, you know, a kid that what did he reach, 93, 94 in high school?
Oh, he hit 98.
Hit 98. Okay, yeah. My bad. I'm off about three or four miles per hour. But, you know, when you got a special kid like that, you know, and the team rallies around him and you got a good team in place, what's that like as a coach to be able to coach a quality team like that?
Oh, it makes it easy. I mean, in the sense where you can just go stick a guy out there. But the hardest part was managing him and his pitch count. And once he started getting noticed, you have this gem that you don't want to break, you know, and you don't want it to be on you that it happens, you know, so you got to take care of it. But he comes from an absolutely outstanding family and he's a great kid. And anytime I see some kind of kid in high school or whatever, some kind of ego about themselves and stuff like that, and it's like, you know, I coached a kid who was way more talented that had none of that, you know, and he couldn't be more humble and just a great kid. And so, you know, it was tough. It was a little tough to manage because I didn't realize he was that hard. We were in a fall ball game one day. We're playing Buchanan and Pat Ware came over and he had a radar gun and he's like, "Hey, who's this?" "It's Carlos." He's like, "Who's he play for? Like travel ball?" Something like that. "He plays for us." "He didn't play for anybody else." Like, not that I'm hoarding him or anything, but he goes, I go, "He's about 86, 88, right?" He goes, "No, he's 92. I was like, "What?" I goes, "I got him at 92. I was like, and that's when, like, the light clicked. I go, "We got something here, you know? And so we need to, you know, be smart about how we do things and handle things." And the hard part for me was talking to my buddy Donnie Ryder, who was the wrestling coach at the time, into, like, "Hey, this kid's ranked in the Valley in wrestling, but one false move and that elbow could go, that shoulder could go." Like, you know, I've never been that guy to tell a coach, "Hey, this kid needs to only play this sport," because I believe kids should play as many sports as they can. And so, and he even agreed with it too. He's like, "Yeah, you probably should do that," you know? And so, he was, and still, we're still very close and we still text each other and stuff. And he's a highway patrolman in San Jose now and doing, he loves it. You know, everybody knew him.
Yeah.
Growing up, I didn't know him until he really got to the high school. And, so they just all knew him as that kid that threw hard, you know, and a little bit wild, yeah. You know? And so, but there's no ego about him or anything like that. So very special kid.
And one game that I want to bring up, Jay, we only got a few minutes here. Time is absolutely flying by with us. I remember Fresno B hyped this game up. So here's Kerman, small to medium school. And you decide to enter a tournament, right? Is it the Fresno Easter Classic?
Yeah.
And you're going to play Clovis High, and Carlos is going to pitch. And going to be going against this guy by the name of Jacob Gatewood back then. And,
yeah. Yeah.
I think Jacob was a junior at that time and was no more for hitting but had a really good arm.
Yep.
So it's going to be Salazar and Gatewood, and it's packed and ends up being a 1-1, 1-0 win for Clovis High in just a game that people still talk about today. I mean, I'm bringing it up right now. I remember I was there. This is before I was even covering high school sports. You know, you got about, you know, in about a minute's time, I know you could probably talk about a half an hour about that game, but, you know, what was the mentality going into that game? What do you remember about that game? And how fun was it for you to watch, or nerve-wracking?
We just wanted to be the small school to beat big schools. I didn't know that it was going to be the way it was. It was just, I knew – you know, Jake was going to pitch, and, you know, you save your best pitcher for the best team you're going to play. And we had a good run in that tournament. We were 3-0 coming in, and it's a Wednesday morning at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to show up for this? You know, there was over 3,000 people there, and, like, people came from, like, Paso Robles, Los Banos, stuff like that. Hey, we just heard there'd be a good game here. They read the paper.
Yeah.
And, like, they came from these, they have no investment in any program, and they showed up, and it was very special. But we didn't realize it was gonna be like that. People started trickling in, and the kids are kind of like looking around like, "Hey, a lot of people here," you know, lined up down the street, you know, on the fence, stuff like that. So it was special, you know. And we battled, you know. That's all we wanted to do, you know, is go show we can hang with the bigger guys. So
and I think Gatewood threw a no-hitter. And was it true the one run that was scored was on a pass ball wild pitch?
It was a pass ball.
I think your catcher got hurt.
Yeah.
Put a different
our
kid
starting
in.
Catcher got hit in the head and came out, and Evan Sagrabella came in, and he was kind of a deer in the headlights, but he stepped up and did the job, and, you know, he was outstanding back there. You can pull anybody out of the stands and say, hey, here, go catch 96, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, and the first inning, he didn't have a cup on.
Fun fact.
He forgot to put it on.
I'm so nervous. There's 3,000 people here. I'm forgetting something, aren't I? Oh, yeah. Oh, my cup, shoot. Then really quick, Jay, then Carlos was drafted in what round and signed?
Third round by the Braves.
Okay.
And he signed with them, and he spent a couple years in the minors. And the problem with professional baseball, a lot of people don't realize that, is there's not a lot of coaching. There's coaches, but they're mostly writing reports and things. They're not really working on refining mechanics and things like that. Like, hey, you need to do this and this and this. And it's just like, this is what he did today, and this is how it went. It's not about that daily, hey, you know, let's get your arm up here and let's do this and, you know, that kind of thing. It's that doesn't really exist, you know? And so would have been nice, you know, see him go on further, you know, but he can be successful in anything he wants to do. And it sounds like he is.
Highway Patrol up there, up in NorCal. That's awesome. Jay, we got to wrap it up here. And I mentioned in my opener, right, fellow Star Wars nerd, I'm wearing I got some Boba Fett socks on. I got one question for you. What is your favorite moment in the Star Wars universe? What do you got, really quick?
Boy, that's a tough one. Really.
I know.
It's probably the cantina scene. Just that whole being. I saw that movie when I was 3 years old with my dad. I went to the theater, right down in Blackstone here, and so being about 3.5 years old, and you walk in there and you see all these things, and you're just kind of like, that's what got me hooked, you know. And so I think that more so, just letting me be a fan of the whole thing. And now my kids are, my daughter Megan, she's my Star Wars nerd and history nerd part of me, and then Matt's my baseball side,
yeah,
you know. So I got a perfect split with the two, and they couldn't be better friends.
You do. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I enjoy our text back and forth about baseball and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Thanks. And you brought me one of your candles, right? So you and your wife, you got a candle business together.
Yes.
So turn to candles. Looks like you gave me the lavender version, scented soy candle.
That's what I do now.
Handcrafted.
And my wife and I, my lovely wife, Chrissy, and I, we take liquor and wine bottles and cut them and turn them into candles. And so that's kind of, it's almost symbolic of my career, where I was like going to be cast away, you know, by a coach, and it's like, we don't want this guy. And my other coach was like, let's keep him. And so that's what I really enjoyed about coaching, was taking that kid who was not looked at as somebody who's going to be helpful and turning him into something, you know, special. And that's, I think, as a teacher yourself, you see those kids that have something, you know, that don't quite know it yet, you know, and that they're successful as a result of what maybe you've been able to do, you know. And as we know, it takes a whole lot of people to do, but just play that one little part, you know, in their lives. So that's huge.
And you're doing a great job, Jay. Always love talking with you.
Appreciate
it. A fantastic job at Kerman, and you're doing good things today. And love that story about the candle and taking the, you know, those that might be cast off and molding them and giving them a future. So really appreciate you coming in, my friend.
Hey, thank
and we'll
you.
Talk to you soon. Jay Pruce coming up after the break, talking with Central Baseball coach Mitch Mulligan on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. I want to give another shout-out to First String Sports. They do an incredible job here. Letterman's jackets, anything that you want. I mean, baseball heavy. This is getting ready for summer baseball, believe it or not, even though the weather doesn't really feel like it. Well, today's a beautiful day, but spring break is going to be here in a week. We always look forward to that time of the year, you know, especially as teachers. But this is a great time of the season. It's my favorite sports season. Talking baseball, just had a great conversation with Jay Pruce. A lot of people know Jay Pruce, a longtime coach at Kerman High, and I love what he said about the candle making business that he's in. They take old wine bottles and old bottles and basically refurbish them and put a light on them and make a candle out of it, because that's how he described himself. Like, coaches didn't want them. They wanted to cut them, and he was refined, and that's how he looks at a lot of his students and his players, and he takes the kids that might be on the fringe and tries to make them better kids and baseball players. So that was really, really cool. So thanks to Jay Pruce for coming on. Talking with Mitch Mulligan right now. He's the Central High baseball coach. The Grizzlies are 5-6 overall, 1-2. Lost a tough one last night to Clovis, tried to win the series. Mitch has done an incredible job. Like I've said in the opener, they were runner-up in D2 last year, lost to Clovis East. But, Mitch, you've had a busy day. You've had a busy week, I should say. Probably had a busy year, but you've had a busy day, and I know you're hanging out with your family. So thanks for taking the time and joining me today.
Hey, appreciate it, Paul. My pleasure, man. Love to be on. Love to talk with you. And, baseball late last night, lost a tough one, and then up bright and early coaching my son's team this morning with Buchanan Babe Ruth Association. So just nonstop baseball around here.
The grind never stops, man. And, you know, I don't have to tell you this, but those moments that you're able to spend with your kids and your son and coach them up, and, you know, it might be hard to get up on a Saturday morning, especially after a tough loss last night to Clovis. But, man, those times with your kids are pretty special, and I know you understand that.
It's a definite pick-me-up after losing a tough one last night. That was a tough one to get over. It was a good series through and through. I mean, just with all these track series now, every game's a grind. When you think you have it figured out and have it planned out, something comes up and makes it tough. So that was a tough one last night.
The three-game series, though, is it true you did play Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, so you play 3 days in a row?
Yeah, and that's a tough one. I was talking with just the coaching staff last night too, is you play three games in a row and you really don't have time to dwell on the games or reflect and practice to get better. It's just like, you know, showing up again each day and trying to figure it out. And we definitely need the practice time, and this arena has not kind of helped us out with that. But, you know, it's definitely been one of those unusual years, to say the least.
Yeah, the rain has definitely wreaked havoc up down the Central Valley. Yeah. And it's just, and it looks like we're 70% chance on Tuesday as well. And Coach Brad Fonce was on last week for, you know, Buchanan head coach. And we talked about it a little bit, but it's everybody's in the same boat, you know, for lack of a better phrase, right? Literally, some people might be in a boat. But everyone's in the same boat as far as field conditions and practice time and all those different things, right? And a lot of you guys have only played, you guys are 5-6. You played 11 games, and you're already through the first week of the league. It's just strange.
It is super strange. I mean, it's really flown by. Like when we had the Central Classic for over 3 weeks' time, constantly dealing with the rain and making deal with what we had. And then now, we're in league, and we got now Clovis West coming up, and more rain in the foreseeable future. And I mean, we need those days for practice to get on the field. It looks like Monday is going to be clear to where we can kind of plan and plan for the upcoming series and go from there. But it's so hard to simulate actual game atmosphere when we're in a facility when it's pouring. So. And that kind of one of the reasons why pitching is a little bit ahead for the first two games of the series. And hitting was a little bit behind because you just can't simulate live arms and facing live at bats.
Exactly. There's only so many reps you could take in a batting cage in an undisclosed location. And you're right. It doesn't simulate pitching at all. I want to ask you too, after the season so far, what's your assessment of the team? What are your team's strengths right now? Where do you feel like you need to get better at?
That's one of those deals where we're constantly trying to find consistency. So it's like, where do we need to improve on? Everywhere. I mean, what can we do better? Everything. But it's trying to find that consistency on a day in and day out approach to where, we're mentally checked in and ready to get better. And, you know, it's hard to do with the limited time that we've had on the field. But, you know, we have 15 seniors, and we have to rely on them and their experience and the 3 years that they've put in with mostly varsity experience to hold each other accountable and to get better. I think we got a good group of hitters, you know, 1 through 9, led by guys like Skylar Dwiggins and Dallin Alice, Logan Ponacorvo, and But we have to put together more consistent at-bats up and down the lineup to really click and really to kind of get on the next level. And that's kind of what's been missing so far. So when you say we're 5-6, that's what we are, because we have not been consistent enough up and down the lineup. And on some days that we pitch, we don't hit. And some days that we hit, we don't pitch. So that's kind of where we're at.
And you had your tournament, and how difficult was that to navigate through the tournament? Did you have a bunch of games read? I know you're laughing now. I mean, was it just a big headache? Were you waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and something on your mind? You write down in your phone the notes, and then try to get a couple more hours of sleep. Is that what it was like for you?
Well, I'm telling you right now, Paul, coming up with a great tournament and planning for it for about a year and a half, it was a great idea. Until they told me it was going to rain every single day and have to deal with four different umpire associations, seeing how many games Bakeshore Chief can account for, how many games Jeff Bonds can account for, how many games with, I don't know if you know, but the Coast Umpire Association's on strike, so I have an outside umpire agency crew going up there to cover games. So it was, and then the coach is trying to figure out, is it varsity only, JV only? So I'd wake up with about 34 text messages to read and go through and try to figure it out, But it was a good tournament. We were able to get pretty much all the games in, but yeah, it was a lot of work.
And I talk to Jay Pruce right now. He talked about some of the kids that he's coached over the years that might not have been very good baseball players, but they were good kids and they worked hard. And he tried to mold them into good baseball players and good people. Are there some kids that you've had throughout the year that, you've kind of, you've taken a special interest in those types of kids and you've seen them grow? Is there any specific example that you have?
Well, that's the one thing. Like I've been the head coach, unfortunately, I've been the head coach for the past 5 years, but I've been at Central for 14 years now. So I've seen a lot of great players come through, the Jordan Brinks, the Davion Whittles and the Colin Eastmans. Those are all guys that really stand out. But if you're talking about kids that are just about, they're about to grind, there's the Ethan Bairds over the years, the Trent Allises, that they just love the grind in the weight room, just love the game of baseball, and are just great kids who are going to be, when they're done playing college baseball, come back and they'll be in our program. Most of our coaches on our staff now are kids that I've coached through the years with Ryan Engelman, Kyle Dower, Micah Harrington. We're a unique group over at Central where we're all about family, and we're about the Grizzly life, and that's why so many of these guys that are coaching now are former Central Grizzlies that are looking to get back and make this program better than even when they played.
And Central High over the last few years, I feel like that going to games and going to football games and broadcasting games and watching your games as well, and the boys basketball had that great run, and boys track and field won a state championship, and obviously the girls basketball and their incredible run. It just seems like the admin and everything is just, everyone's really bought in and support each other. I've seen you at football games as well, so just talk about what how great life is as a coach and teacher at Central, and just the sense of community and family you guys have there.
Yeah, it definitely starts with the support. Our athletic director, Central Unified, with Darren Pittman, and our high school athletic director, Ray Hightower, they do a great job in supporting us and giving us what we need. Our admin with Principal Brad Edmonds, and of course, you can't, if you talk about Central sports, you're talking about Shamika Conway, too, what she does with our athletics. It's one big happy family out there that supports each other. And you talk about the Central girls team making a run and all this stuff. It's also all the coaches and directors of sports who, when we show up to meetings and big events, they show up for you. We had our Central dinner, last weekend, which was a good turnout, but all these people show up and support you for the events that you put on. And so we're about returning the favor when we need to support them as well.
And I want to talk about your coaching career. So you mentioned you've been there for 14 years. Is this your fifth year, you said? Fifth year as a head coach?
Fifth year as a head coach.
and you took over a program I believe had won six games a year before. You mentioned family, right? Am I right on that? But just talk about the process of trying to build a program and what steps you guys have taken and, you know, the highs and lows of that.
You know, that was the deal when we took over. It wasn't just my decision. It's my family's decision, too, my wife and our kids. Like, if I was going to take this on, they were going to be, you know, they know what comes with it. And it's a lot of time away from them, which is, you know, tough, especially – missing, you know, my daughter who's playing softball right now at Granite Ridge, and my son with his baseball. So there's definitely things that I miss, and that's really tough and unfortunate. But when we're trying to develop a program, it was trying to find out what we were missing or lacking, and what we could do better to change it. And you know, it starts from the ground up. It starts with buying into. Just the type of kid that our Central Athletics are. And, you know, we're a little bit different. We do things a little bit differently, but the more we buy into it and know who we are as, you know, as a team, and identify what that is, we can grow from it. So that's just, it's the little things over the years, you know, definitely upgrading facilities and uniforms and all that stuff. But baseball, it's an 11-month cycle. You know, starts in August in the weight room and making the games. And the only month that we really get off is July when summer ball is over with. So you have to build your bodies up for 11 months to progress and be the best version of yourself when we start to make a run towards playoffs.
Talking with Mitch Mulligan, a head baseball coach at Central High. I want to talk about your career. Your high school career and playing at Fresno Pacific and COS. You graduated from Selma in 2004. You went to COS and then Fresno Pacific. I heard that Jody Allen, I mean, I've been to clinics with Jody Allen, and what a dynamic teacher he is. And he absolutely gets after it, man. He's infectious, right? And you just can't help but want to run through a wall for that guy. What did you learn about yourself and something that you've taken on in your coaching career from your different baseball experiences?
Most of the stuff that I will preach or have learned from baseball comes from Jody Allen. But don't forget John Hollett there, too. He was my coach at Selma. This is, I think this is his 20th year now as the head coach for the Bears. So he was a great guy as well. Jody Allen really taught me how to become a man, to be honest with you. Even 18, 19 years old, the foundations and the principles that he taught and the way that he, you know, talked about it really just made you be like, wow, like I do got to grow up. I do got to look myself in the mirror and realize who I am and what I want to be. But just the day in, day out practices and getting to the field early, not wanting to leave the field because we were around such a great group of guys. That's really, just like I said, infectious, but that's kind of stuff that you try to preach as a coach as well. Like, you want the kids to be there, want to be there early, not want to go home and want to keep getting better because they love who they're around and their teammates. And so that was just, Jody Allen's such a great mentor and role model for a lot of people.
And so what was your temperament like as a player, right? And then how have you taken that into your coaching? I mean, I think about my own baseball life, and man, I gotta admit, I was a little bit of a powder, and I take my bats to the field. You could see it. I didn't have the great body language, man. What type of a player were you? And now as a head coach, you know, are you able to take the good and the bad from your career?
Yeah, you know, I was definitely a fiery guy. I'd say a blue collar. Didn't take things for granted, and so when I did fail or I didn't do what I wanted, I definitely wore it heavily on my chest. Probably still. I mean, if my players saw me and what I kind of demand of them, and if we don't execute, I kind of definitely show it still. And that's just part of it. I want to strive for greatness, and I am a fiery guy, and I will, you know, let them know about it in the moment. Now, obviously, after the moment's over and when we reflect on it, then we can get deeper into where, you know, what we didn't do correctly. But in terms of playing, I mean, I, I love playing. I still love taking ground balls when we can. I was a shortstop, and I thought I had pretty good hands back in the day. And so I love hitting in and out fungos with our infielders, especially my middle guys like Skyler and Rojas. But yeah, I mean, taking ground balls, that's one of the best thing to do, period, I think.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I love it. We only got about a minute here, Coach. And I just want to ask you this, too, playing at junior college. You know, and we see it on Twitter all the time, but there's this thing that goes on social media about D1 or bust, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
right, and it's just bust, it bugs right? The heck out of me sometimes. And, you know, college baseball is college baseball. So what do you say to that? And you know, what's your opinion on that? And, you know, college baseball is tough no matter where you play, right?
Oh, 100%. And we talk about college baseball, and we talk with guys like Labby and guys like Walden. It's all about fit, you know. You might be potentially ready to play D1 baseball in a few years. I mean, you might be D1 potential, but your body's not there yet, or you're mentally not there yet. And you have to go to a place like COS or Fresno City or junior college around here to really figure out who you are. And then when you figure out who you are, then you're probably ready to go to a Division I school or Division II school. But yeah, there's so much of the hashtag blessed, and you end back up at a junior college year later, which is fine too, because you probably should have been there to begin with. But there's nothing wrong with going to a junior college first and then figuring out where you're going to go the next step. Nothing wrong with that, especially, and you're going to get pushed by some really good coaches out there too to get better.
No, I agree. And, you know, I talked to a lot of players and a lot of coaches as well about that very subject. And, you know, even Jay Pruce talked about it, right? He came in from Sanger. He's pretty good. And he was wide-eyed, man, when he got to Fresno City even. You know, they won a state championship. They obviously had a very good season. But, right, you got to – right, you don't know how tough it is to play at the next level. You know, you think of, well, you know, the Adrian Martinez or the Caleb Kellys. I'm thinking of football guys that had – success at the Division I level. But those guys are special athletes, but hey, they went through some stuff too, man. It wasn't easy for those guys as well, even though they're four or five star guys.
Well, hey, you know, like with baseball is different though too, because you're going to show up, doesn't matter if it's junior college or Division I, there's going to be anywhere from 35 to 50 guys who are just as good as you or were their best high school player at their respective high schools, and they want to take they want to win a job. And so it's up to you to get better to win a job. And that's really where it starts.
No, I agree. Okay, Mitch, I know we actually got a few more minutes. We're going to take you all the way to around 12 o'clock. Who are your favorite Major League Baseball teams? Are you a Giants guy? What are you?
I'm a Giants guy. Black and orange.
So what's your assessment on the season coming up? You know, I listen to KMBR sometimes. You laugh, but, you know, it's going to be a transition season, right?
It is. I listen to KMBR quite a bit too, and I was really hoping that they were going to make a big splash like Foran was promising and talking about. And the Judge thing didn't happen. The Correa thing fell through, and we're kind of stuck with Mitch Henniger's and
Confortos.
Yeah, Confortos. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. So not again. I'm not super excited. I'm hoping they can do all right. But last year left a real bad taste in my mouth.
Well, I mean, 2 years ago, 107 wins, and that season was one for the ages. That was a remarkable season.
Yeah. But you also had Buster Posey in there too, and it was like a, you know, Chris Bryant who you let walk, but you had some veteran guys that had some remarkable seasons to go with some young arms too.
Yeah, how much did it hurt that? Well. Obviously, Judge, right? That was more hopeful, I think, right?
Yeah,
a lot of things were in place. You know, growing up in Linden and coming back to California, there was a lot of hope. But the Correa thing was just an odd situation. Like, which one, like, kind of gut punched you the most?
The Judge one was tough because there was a tweet that saying that he was going to the Giants that circulated and it didn't come back. But the other one, the Correa one, was like, all right, hey, listen, we didn't get Judge. You got your future shortstop/third baseman for the next, you know, 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
He's a player. And then you can also have your Hennigers and Fortnos and the other guys that you can fill in. But you actually have a guy who can hit in the middle of the order. And now we have a bunch of 6, 7, 8 guys hitting in the 2, 3, 4 spots that is kind of tough to rally behind.
Well, you can hang your hat on one thing. In spring training, the Giants led all of baseball in stolen bases. So, hey,
yeah,
you got
yeah.
stolen bases. You got that. And I think a kid had 12 stolen bases in spring training. So, Mitch, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. I know it's a big day for you. You got Clovis West coming up next week, 3 games. Always great to talk to you. Thanks, my friend. Tom Goodwin
thanks,
Field,
Paul.
Man, and Tom did a great job and supports Grizzlies Athletics. So that was really fun a few weeks ago as well.
Yeah, I appreciate the hat, too. Appreciate the hat. It's up in my man cave.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Yeah, can't wait to see that. Shoot me a picture when you got the time. All right, Mitch, thanks you.
Thanks, Paul. Right. Appreciate it, bud.
You bet. Thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo, Emma Swenson, Jay Prues, and Mitch Mulligan. You've been listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Have a good week, everybody.